KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
Hey, let's jump right into this. We have a special guest with us right now. Joining us on our KTAR Newsmaker line is Steve Hall, former CIA Chief of Russian Operations. First off, Mr. Hall, thank you so much for joining us. And I can only imagine you have some at least unique insight and or reaction to what a lot of people saw yesterday. The President of the United States and the President of Russia standing on stage together discussing a variety of things, mostly things involving the United States. What was your take yesterday on this press conference?
You know, my first impression was, just absolute disbelief. Here we have the President of the United States standing next to, really the definition of a despot, a true authoritarian, and then coming out and saying, well, you know, we discussed a few things, and I know I'm getting intelligence briefings from my own intelligence services, but frankly, I effectively believe what Vladimir Putin has said versus what I'm hearing from my own government, from my own intelligence services. That in and of itself was just sort of breathtaking in its it's just an incredible moment for me as a former intelligence officer.
Okay, so you're watching this, that incredible moment that unfolded for all of us to witness, and now the fallout that is ensuing from it. And we're hearing a lot for senior officials within the intelligence communities to step down, consider resigning. Do you actually think anyone's going to resign over this?
I think some of the comments recently that came from the Director of National Intelligence, Dan Coats, are I think an indication that he seems to be struggling with what to do. And I don't envy him his position. On the one hand, if he resigns, then of course he loses the ability to sort of help shape events in whatever way he thinks is best. And I think he's a pretty reasonable guy. On the other hand, if he stays, he becomes complicit in what I think is an increasingly untenable policy position vis-a-vis Russia, and specifically with regard to how the American intelligence services report on that. So he's in a difficult position. It'll be interesting to see what he chooses.
We're talking to Steve Hall again, a former CIA chief of Russian operations. I'm going to assume, you do not have to confirm or deny, that you are knowledgeable in the way of spycraft, the back and forth between the intelligence services. We understand that Russia has its own spy agency. It conducts things that it believes are in its best interest around the world, as do we. Is President Trump just not aware of spycraft? Is Vladimir Putin crazy like a fox? Like, I'm trying to watch this, and you know, a lot of people think the president got played, that Putin knew how to play to his ego and basically get what he wanted out of him.
Well, it's an interesting situation. I mean, a lot of world leaders have tried to deal with Donald Trump and to understand and deal with his ego. I mean, if you look at, you know, the North Korean leader and, you know, Rocket Man, as the president likes to call him, or even just more recently our NATO allies, there's no doubt that this president has no compunction about, you know, kicking people around and trying to push people forcefully when he wants to. The interesting thing is how he does not do that with Vladimir Putin, despite the fact that he does it with a lot of other world leaders. So you have to ask yourself, why is it that he treats Putin so differently than he does with others?
Right, exactly. And so, okay, you know, we all watched the summit yesterday, and Putin was asked about whether or not Russia has compromising information on President Trump or his family. And while Putin called that nonsense, he didn't quite answer the question either. You know, as the former head of the Russian operations at the CIA in Moscow, what was your take during that exchange yesterday?
Look, the Russians are, and especially Putin, you know, their methodology is lie bigger and lie harder, or go home. There is no doubt in my mind that the Russian intelligence services have information on Donald Trump and many members of probably of Donald Trump's team, just because it's the nature of what the FSB, which is the internal Russian intelligence service, does. It collects information on people that it finds of interest. So when Vladimir Putin says, oh, you know, I hope I don't cause any offense to Mr. Trump, but when he was in Moscow for, you know, the beauty pageant or whatever it was, he wasn't important enough. That's just flagrantly false. They would be collecting on an American like him just in case something, just in case that American gained a position that would be interesting to them, say, become the president of the United States. So there's no doubt that they have information on him. The question is, can they use it to leverage him in that fashion to have him do what they want? That's the question that remains open. And that might be an explanation as to why Donald Trump treats Vladimir Putin differently than other world leaders.
Yeah, we're talking to the former CIA chief of Russian operations, Steve Hall, on our KTAR newsmaker line. Along that path, if you will, the belief in some way, shape, or form that the reason that Vladimir Putin gets a pass on invading the Ukraine, poisoning people on the streets of London, whatever it might be.
Attacking our elections.
Undermining, attempting to, mm-hmm. his own words, not mine, attempting to kind of undermine democracy. I saw the former head of the RNC, a gentleman named Michael Steele, commented yesterday, this is what a handler and an asset look like. This is what you're seeing, in that Vladimir Putin had a high level of confidence going into that meeting and was very comfortable because he's got the goods on him.
Yeah, you know, I think until I saw what happened yesterday, I was a skeptic about that. I was not so dark-sided to think, you know, that our president could be somehow manipulated, or that blackmail could be used against him, or that he could be, you know, cooperating with a foreign government, specifically the Russians. But then again, I get back to the question, why is it that he treats Vladimir Putin so differently than others? And I'm frankly running out of reasons as to why it is, except for the fact that there might be information out there that the Russians have that Donald Trump, for whatever reason, does not want to come out, would be humiliated by it. And I don't think, frankly, it's any of the salacious, you know, types of things that we've heard about. I think it's much more likely that there are financial ties between Trump and his organization and the Russians over the years that he doesn't want to come out. And I think that position is validated by the fact that he, being Trump, ferociously protects the privacy of his tax returns. He told the Mueller investigation, it's a red line. If you look into my past business activities, that now starts to fit together as to why it is he treats Vladimir Putin with kid gloves.
So what I'm hearing you say there, though, is that yesterday's summit changed your perspective yesterday. And I'm wondering, like, what specifically? I mean, was there one moment in yesterday's summit that you can look at and go, now that's a red flag?
Well, I think when they came out and did the joint press conference, and again, you know, I know a lot of people in Arizona, myself included, you know, we're big golfers. This could have been a 3-foot putt for Donald Trump. He could have come out with Putin in front of that press conference with all the world watching and saying, look, I asked some hard questions of Putin about Crimea. I made some very strong points about meddling and attacking our elections and other elections in the West. You know, he denied it. We agreed to disagree, but, you know, I made some strong points to him. Then Putin could have turned around and said, you know, something similar, and they both could have shaken hands and said, okay, you know, we called it a day. But instead, you got something radically different. You got the president standing up and saying, well, effectively, given the choice between what Vladimir Putin told me and what my own intelligence services told me, I'm going to go with Putin. And that is something that I think is really unprecedented for a president to do something like that, and changed my assessment as to what really might be going on behind the scenes.
As a former CIA chief of Russian operations, as well as other duties in our clandestine services, Steve Hall is joining us. Is this just more of, and this president has been, I call it, hostile towards the IC, the intelligence community, from almost the get-go. It almost appears as an us versus them at times. How does this resolve itself?
Well, that's an excellent question. And my understanding is that the president is going to be speaking shortly.
Yes.
I think trying to reach some sort of resolution on this, But frankly, he's really, I think, put himself in an untenable position. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that the president has a significant insecurity when it comes to the Russians, because in his mind, when he hears Russia, he hears questioning whether or not he legitimately won the elections. That, of course, sets off, I think, a chain reaction in his mind of deflection and of pushing back against that, and to the point where he even questions, you know, his own intelligence services and his own government. And that's an inherently unhealthy and unstable situation. And I think really what is going to have to happen is the Republican Party is going to have to try to weigh in on this in such a way to resolve it somehow. I don't know how that's going to happen. It's really uncharted territory, I think, for our country.
As they say, Mr. Hall, thank you so much for your time today. We sincerely appreciate that. That's the former CIA chief of Russian operations. His reaction to watching that press conference yesterday and that it was a tipping point, at least for him, Pamela, in changing his mind as to do the Russians have something on Donald Trump that for whatever reason he doesn't want to be known? He says yes.
And I concur with that. I think that there were a lot of people that watched it yesterday, myself included, going, this just doesn't fit. This doesn't pass the smell test. The spidey senses are going off. Something is wrong. And this is coming from a talk show host in Phoenix, not the guy who used to run the CIA, Russia, in Moscow.
You can want to have better relationship with Russia.
Oh, that's great. I think that's fine.
You can want to not have the Cold War. You can want all those. That doesn't mean you defend the Russian intelligence services. The President of the United States takes the word of a totalitarian thug dictator over his own. There's a lot of room in between there.
And when he also says that the United States is an uncharted territory.
Yeah.
Yeah. That has to give you a moment of pause. And also, we are monitoring, as you heard him say there just moments ago, that the president is expected to speak here soon. First statements following the summit yesterday. And we're going to monitor that for you.
A judge is working herself into the middle of the immigration debate once again. Changes in what can or can't be done to reunited families. We'll give you the latest on that judge's ruling.
Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
So a judge, not for the first time, by the way, a San Diego judge, has waded into the middle of the immigration, deportation, family separation, reunification, et cetera.
All of the above. Yeah.
Thank you. Judge Dana Sabra, the San Diego judge, she's a federal judge, by the way, appointed by famous liberal Hillary lover George Bush. She has put a halt to the deportations of these, should I call them newly reunited families?
The same San Diego judge who ordered that children and their parents be reunited is now ordering a temporary halt to any family deportations for 1 week until the government can respond to an ACLU concern about family deportations after children and parents have been reunited. The ACLU argues more time is needed to ensure that no family is being improperly deported. Government lawyers have 1 week now to respond, then the judge will rule permanently after reviewing the arguments.
All right. So, yes, the deportations have been temporarily stopped. We got until next Monday. If you've been reunified with your family, the kids, find mom and dad finally after all this time. Yeah,
they're all back together again.
You can't deport them. The earliest that would happen would be Monday of next week. Now, Monday of next week is when this same judge in San Diego is going to hear this case that the ACLU has filed saying that families need time. And the time that they're asking for is this momentous decision about whether to leave their children behind in the United States when they get deported, which I just find odd.
What do you mean?
Well, I just find that odd. Like, I put myself, and I've done this throughout this entire story, Bruce. I'm a mom of an 8-year-old, Riley. And I understand the parental plight of wanting to give your child a better life. If you and your family's life is being threatened in Guatemala or Honduras or Mexico or wherever it may be because of gang violence, and you're like, you know what, I'd rather risk life and limb traveling through
the
Central
journey.
America.
Yeah.
Than to stay where I'm currently at and have them murdered. I can understand
still,
that.
Still a better option.
I can understand that. I can understand the risk that you may take as a parent to cross that border, not knowing whether or not you're going to get asylum, or if you crossed illegally, not knowing if you're going to be captured and separated. Like, I can wrap my head around all of that. If you're reunited with your child, I cannot wrap my head around leaving the kid here and being deported on my own. Does that make sense? When the ACLU said this, that they're concerned about rumors of mass deportation of families that have just been reunited, potentially leaving parents with just hours to make the momentous decision about whether to leave their children behind in the United States, meaning being deported without their kid.
Leaving your child behind. Wow.
Yeah, well, I couldn't do it. And I'm not saying that those that do it are wrong or anything. I'm just like, I couldn't do it. To me, that's not a huge decision.
I understand that. I come back to the point you made, though, and say,
what are you going back to?
Horrific must it be? The conditions be
I get it.
That you think that's still your best option for your child.
No, I get it.
That your child is better off away from you in a former country as opposed to with you in your country. I don't know that.
And these are the real world questions that these parents and families are having to ask themselves.
You big concert goer? Well, guess what? A lot of bands out there are disappointing their fans, maybe intentionally, maybe unintentionally. What expectation should you have when you go to a concert that they play their greatest hits in the order you want them? We'll talk about it next.
Working on a night move. Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes. KTAR News on 92.3 FM.
So, Pamela.
Brucifer.
You got an act like Bob Seger.
Ah, love me some Seger.
By the way, can we pour a little out for the Silver Bullet Band? I don't know what they're doing today, but my guess is it's a hard road to hoe. Okay? My first concert ever in my life in Tucson at the McHale Center where they play basketball, and my mom took me and my maggot brother to see Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band. I want to say it was like, I can't remember. If I saw the album cover, I'd recognize it. You know what I'm saying? But the idea being is, you go to see somebody like Bob Seger today. You go see Nine Inch Nails.
Yes.
You go see Bob Dylan, right? They're out there touring. You go see Tool for you headbangers out there. And they don't play their biggest hit or some of their biggest hits. Should you get a refund?
Okay, so this is a great question because Seger is actually coming back to the Valley February 15th. Why do I know that? Because I'm a huge Seger fan, and if I go, which I want to go, and he doesn't play Night Moves, I'm going to be ticked.
Really?
When I go to a concert, I want to see the music, and I want to hear the music that made me fall in love with you as an artist or as a band. So, yes, I think you have some sort of obligation. To play the songs that made me pay the money to come see you perform. But now, does it all have to be the hits and best of? No.
But aren't you assuming that your top five is everyone else who shows up's top five?
Okay, but listen, you put together a best of Bob Seger. If you play five songs off, you may not play my favorite five, but if you play five off of like the best of, I think you're going to be covered kind of thing.
There are artists out there, and maybe it's because I worked at the music side and I've been to enough concerts. Like, there were artists we knew, and I used to warn people. I remember when Prince was touring, and people go, oh my God, Prince is coming to Phoenix. I can't wait to go.
Raspberry.
And I would say, yes, if you love Prince, go. If you want to hear Purple Rain, if you want to hear Little Red Corvette, do not go. He will not sing those songs live. Period. Full stop. Won't do it. Period. Won't. Refuses to. Doesn't care if you like it. If you want to go see Prince jam and play some stuff that's never been released and do these songs that he likes, that's what he does. Madonna. You want to go see Madonna? If you're going to watch her do Like a Virgin, don't go see Madonna live. Watch it on YouTube. She doesn't do that in her show.
Oh, see, and I think that that's a disservice, frankly. And you know what? The reason why we're talking about this is there was a reader who recently wrote in and said that, you know what, he considered himself a casual Nine Inch Nails fan. But you know what? Spent several hundred dollars because, yeah, listen, concert tickets, not cheap these days.
And especially for these kind of formerly
big
bands.
Yeah, and he was a little miffed that they didn't play the hit Head Like a Hole or Closer.
No,
and so his question was, what kind of recourse does an audience member have if a performer does not play the hit?
None.
I know you have no recourse, but it becomes one of these things. What responsibility then does an artist have to play his or her most popular tunes? And is it a reasonable expectation that a concert goer has that the artist is going to play their hits? And the other reason why I ask this is because when the same guy, this Kevin guy that was a little miffed at the Nine Inch Nails, when he bought tickets for Weird Al Yankovic.
Weird Al?
Yeah. So okay. Let's just say he's got an eclectic taste in music. Fans were notified up front that Weird Al was not playing his hits.
This is not a greatest hits tour.
Now, you can't go to the box office and demand your money back, but at least you know what you're getting into at that point in time.
Right, but you understand that for an artist like, use Bob Seger. You what was your favorite song again?
Night Moves.
1976. Now,
it was a fabulous year, I'm told.
I'm led to believe
I wasn't even born yet.
It was our country's birthday. Okay, there was awesome fireworks. But I'm going to assume, not being steeped in Bob Seger lore like you, that he's made some music over the last 40 years.
Sure.
And that he doesn't want to go and have to do a concert from the 70s.
No, that's fine. I'm not asking you to do a concert from the 70s. Let's sprinkle in the reason why I, somebody who was not born in 1976, loves a song from 1976.
Nick says, I just heard you mention Dylan. Bob Dylan. He goes, I saw him at Summerfest in Milwaukee. He might have done all his hits. No one could understand a word.
Exactly.
I was going to say, how would you know if Bob Dylan's doing his hits?
We asked you on the open mic line, 602-200-2733. Should bands be required to play their biggest hits in concert? Here's what you're saying.
Mark in Mesa, I think it's a catch-22. You know, both arguments are good. People could be sick of it, or the artist could be sick of doing it. And then, of course, the people could, you know, be expecting it. You got to take into effect how many albums and how many songs does that artist have out.
Yeah. Well, from Phoenix, I think for the bands to play their super popular songs that get beat down on the radio all day long, the people that only know that band because of those songs will go there with the expectation of hearing them, whereas people that are saturated into a band and love them no matter what they play could care less if they play their hit songs or not.
Yeah, I get
Vaughn from Surprise. The band, of course, can play anything they want to.
Yeah.
But if they want a paying audience, they provide what the audience wants to hear, or they don't get the audience paying to see them.
Leslie made a point. She said, I've seen when these bands have had to perform their hits reluctantly, it's ugly and no one wins when they're kind of going. By the way, shout out to Tim.
What did Tim say?
Tim is on the Twitter machine.
Mm-hmm.
And Tim said, 1980, Against the Wind, I was there. So apparently Tim and I were in the same concert. Me as a little maggot that my mom took me. And again, I think it was because she couldn't find a babysitter. It was easier to buy a concert ticket.
It's a good concert to go to.
But I was a kid. I don't remember Bob Seger being
at
the top
care.
Of my
That's
list.
That's fine. Like, well, again, it's not
where's
about
the Barney
you,
song
right?
In there somewhere. Can we get something good?
No, like, listen, and I'm with our last caller there who called into the open mic line brought to you by Carol Royce, the leader in Arizona real estate. We'll get your home sold guarantee or she'll buy it for cash. Go to carolhasthebuyers.com. If you want people to show up to your show, you know what? I think gone are the days where you have people who are so saturated in a band because nobody buys albums anymore. They buy individual songs.
Singles.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So gone are those days that like everybody loves the band and knows everything about the band. Play some of the hits.
Is that the band's fault?
If you want me to pay a couple $100 to come sit in a packed arena to watch you, yeah, play some of the hits. If you don't want to, that's fine. I'll pay the $1.50 and download the single song.
No, I think until people stop going, they'll do it. How's that? I know plenty of artists that hate their hit. Like, whatever, their one big hit or something, and they hate having to do it. There's a great, great book written by the guys in Semisonic. They had that song, Closing Time, about how much they hate playing that song.
They have a whole book about it?
Who wrote a book? It's an amazing book, an amazing book. Hey, you need to have your faith in humanity restored. Pamela says she can do that for you next.
KTAR News on 92.3 FM. Get some perspective. Bruce St. James and Pamela Hughes.
So, Pamela, it was a closed-door meeting with Republican members of Congress that President Trump is just coming out of, and we're getting some clips and some quotes from this meeting, a meeting that, regardless of what was scheduled to be, turned about turned out to be about whether President Trump believes Vladimir Putin or believes American intelligence community.
Right, exactly, because yesterday,
one or the other.
In the last 24 hours has probably been the worst 24 of his presidency thus far, with both Republicans and Democrats getting a little unified and upset with what he had said about the intelligence community, siding with Russia over his own intelligence agency. So the news that we're getting out of this closed-door meeting with GOP leaders is this right now. The president saying, I accept the intel agencies that collusion meddling took place.
That's the exact opposite of what he said yesterday.
Now believes that the intelligence agency's assessment of interference took place, like you said.
Exact opposite of what he said yesterday.
Exact opposite. And if you forget what he said yesterday, well, this is what he said.
My people came to me, Dan Coats came to me and some others. They said they think it's Russia. I have President Putin. He just said it's not Russia. I will say this. I don't see any reason why it would be. So I have great confidence in my intelligence people. But I will tell you that President Putin was extremely strong and powerful in his denial today.
Dan,
do you believe President Trump yesterday or do you believe President Trump today? I will tell you right now, I choose to believe President Trump of yesterday, not the one under duress today with a gun being held to his head saying you need to walk back all your comments. I think he was being truthful yesterday in that press conference. That's what he believes.
Yeah, I think right now he's in a situation where he's going to say whatever he needs to say.
It's a hostage video at this point.
Right, exactly. But as you heard in that cut, though, Bruce, he dropped the name Dan Coats. And yes. if people don't know who Dan Coats is, he's the director of national intelligence.
He doesn't show up on TV a lot.
He doesn't. But his name was dropped yesterday.
Yes.
And there has been a call from several senior officials out there that he stepped down.
He should have resigned. He should have resigned
resign
yesterday.
Protest. Exactly.
He should have resigned as well as the entire staff. Yes.
I think that is why we're starting to see this walk back from the president, because the people, like the director of national intelligence, Dan Coats, goes, are you serious? Really? You just stood up there with Vladimir Putin and told not just, you know, the people in Helsinki, but the U.S. and Russia and the world that you believe Russia over your own intelligent agencies. So
he was asked an open-ended question, and that's what he went with.
How can I continue to be here as your director of national intelligence when I've told you this is what happened and you don't believe me?
Don't worry. I mean, and don't get me wrong. He'll come back tomorrow and he'll argue that he didn't say what he said today when he walked it back. It's going to, I believe, you know, again, Cult 45 will believe today's apology that it's not what he meant. He misspoke. He didn't mean to suck up to Putin for 45 minutes. Everyone who saw it yesterday knows exactly what they saw, and they know that it is in President Trump's heart. Okay? Not the literally reading from, and they have a picture of it, from a typed prepared statement today,
really?
Not extemporaneously, where
like
he would
yesterday.
Immediately go back to blaming Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and Putin would never lie to me. You know, so, well, it might be one of the reasons why you think we're going to heck in a handbasket. Pamela says she could restore your faith in humanity.
Hey, you know what? I want to take you back to April. And that's when four people were killed. Several were injured after a gunman opened fire in that Waffle House in Tennessee.
I remember that. And there was a hero in it, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And some of them were like unsung heroes as well. So there's a waitress. And her name is Virginia. And Virginia's thoughtfulness just moments before that shooting may have saved at least one man's life. And for that reason, that man's mom worked to track down the waitress and help the bride-to-be getting a wedding dress for her upcoming wedding. Here's what happened. Just shortly before that tragedy unfolded, Virginia was cleaning some dishes, and this guy, Michael, sat down with one of his friends. And the waitress said, hey, you know what? Let me move you over here because I'm washing these dishes. I don't want to splash any water on you. Okay?
Thoughtful.
Simple request, right? That likely saved Michael's life because he was positioned further away from the gunman as a result of that switch. Now, after months of searching to track down Virginia, because she no longer works at the Waffle House, you can understand why, mom was able to find her and was able to work with a bridal shop there in Nashville to get a dress to Virginia, who's about to get married, and did it as just a token of gratitude to show thanks for saving her son's life. Not intentionally, not like, hey, throwing her body on top of her and like, you know, shielding from bullets, but just that small act.
One little thing that one changed thing. Life forever, possibly,
yep,
right?
Yep, exactly.
Outstanding. Pamela, restoring your faith in humanity. Thank you very much. We looked through the double pane bulletproof glass. Took a team to do it. DJ Tommy Two-Tone in. We've got Kat over there. Thank you very much for your help. Super producer Stevie Z doing great work. We had some great guests today. If you missed any of them, go back and listen on the podcast. Some really interesting insight from a couple different people with intimate knowledge of how the intelligence service works. And yeah, amazing. And Bob McClay. He's got news, traffic, weather, everything you need to know.